Jesus,
you're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We've seen what you can do. Wonders, your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning. Welcome to Wednesday Live. And keep that dial set right there on 89.9. You are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida, and we're so glad that you are tuned in to be a part of our family today. Well, this is a live show, and we're coming to you from our studio right here in Palm City. We have a guest with us to open up this hour, Stuart Fakita. We want to welcome you.
Thank you.
You have been with us before, and you have an amazing God story, and we're going to get into that in just a moment. So great to have you with us. David Francoeur.
Hey, hey.
Did all of you come back, David?
Most of me. I came back probably with more than I left. Now, actually, I have to tell you, my daughter and son-in-law kept us so busy, I lost 3 pounds.
You lost 3 pounds going to California. Well, okay.
Yep.
Well, amen. All right. So so you left a little of what you took with you, so that's got to be good. You know, California can use anything good from a man of God. We'll leave 3 pounds there of Dave Francoeur.
There you go.
Karen, welcome. Do we have some notes from our family? We have going to take just a couple minutes to kind of quickly touch on some of this.
Yes, we had gotten some Christmas cards from some of our listeners, so here's just a couple of them here. And this is from Diane, our good friend in Tequesta, right?
She is such a blessing.
And
yes,
she, Diane said, Blackman. Mm-hmm. With her Christmas card, "Dear WCNO, you are spreading the gospel so well with your great Christian programs. So proud of you."
Awesome.
Amen.
That's Diane. Awesome.
And then from one of our programmers, Sheila and Dervin Suarez, with their Saturday night program, "Thy Word is a Lamp," sending us a little card here to all the staff at WCNO. "Peace in every heart, joy to all the world. May God bless you this season."
Awesome. Mm. Awesome.
And from Marilee and Bob, I'm not sure where they're from, saying, "The simple joys of Christmas warm your heart, fill your home, and last a lifetime."
Awesome.
And then "Merry Christmas blessings from Dave and Rose," and they are from Okeechobee.
Dave and Rose in Okeechobee. Listen to all of you. Thank you so much. Dave, what do you have?
Well, I have a prayer request and a Martin County announcement.
Okay.
So let me start with that announcement. We encourage people to get involved. Christians like to get involved in what's going on in your community.
Sure.
Martin County has an opening on their Emergency Medical Services Advisory Council. And they need to have applications by Friday, February 27th of this year. And you can do that by contacting Donna Gordon, and Donna Gordon is the contact person for all these vacancies. Her email is dgordon@martin.fl.us, or you can call her at 288 5 7756 and ask for an application. I'm sorry, that was not the Holy Spirit, and it was my phone. And I'll call them back. But and so if you're interested in that, you have to be a layperson, meaning someone who's not involved in the medical services, emergency medical services.
Oh, that's good to know, because some might say, well, I'm not qualified because that's not my background. So
yeah, exactly.
Looking for someone that can come in and be a part of this committee. Yeah, yep. This is a great thing, you know, that we live in a country where we can get involved. We can have a voice in what takes place, and so that's really awesome. And you had a prayer request, Dave, as well?
I do. For Tina asked us to pray. Well, she wants us to pray for the station, okay, for our families, and for the future.
Okay.
So let's just come before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for Tina's good heart.
Yes,
she has a pastoral heart, and Father, she loves what we do here, and it's really what you do through us. And so we pray for the ministry WCNO and the broadcast of the gospel all over the place. We pray for our families too, Lord, and they're being hit hard in this season of oppression. We know you're changing that, and we know you're moving in and among all the people, all the families, and blessing them. And we just pray that continue, and you bring healing and deliverance, right, and empowerment. And then for the future, Lord, the future, and the future's now, it seems, as we move into the future, Lord, to grant us hope.
Amen.
Lord, for that, the Spirit of God to just bring great measures of hope. And we know we trust you. We know that you know our future. You want our future to be bright and full of joy and promise, because you are moving in this land and you are reviving this nation. And so, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lift up all these three areas, knowing that you have them in the palm of your hand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. And we do wish to all of you, our wonderful family, a blessed and Jesus-filled new year, and pray that you and your family had a wonderful time remembering God's gift of his son Jesus. Amen. To us. And that is what we celebrate. And so we have had a wonderful season of celebrating the God's promise, sending the Messiah, that we might have life. And that is a great thing. All right. Stuart Fakita, you're not a stranger to our ministry here.
Nope.
You've been listening a while.
I've been listening for several years to WC.
Several years.
I mean, I believe I was introduced to this as far back as Faith Farm in 2006, to be honest with you.
Wow.
WCNO, and that goes back a ways, yeah.
That goes back a ways. Well, you were with us on air back, I don't know the date. We might have to try to find that.
October, I think.
October sometime, yeah. But one thing we should mention, because if you tune in, or you've tuned in and you've caught pieces of maybe something that interests you that you'd like to hear again, you can go to WCNO.com and go to On Demand and go to Wednesday Live, put the date in, and you can listen to the entirety of Wednesday Live again. I know a lot of times we have awesome guests like you, Stuart.
Oh, thank you.
So when you were with us the last time, and we're not going to get into the hurricane stuff yet, but I would, before we leave today, just like to, you know, yes, kind of mention, because a lot of people really rallied to that. But you gave us a little bit of an intro of your BC days before Christ.
Oh, absolutely. Before Christ was a haphazard life, if you will.
Okay.
Just to recap a little bit of the first part, you know, goes back to growing up. My mom and dad were great people. I want to clarify that right from jump, because they really worked hard to try to keep me a good kid. But bad choices. Got around the wrong crowd, and I think because mom and dad were working so hard, I just kind of wandered off and lost my best friend at 10 years old, and that was very, very impacting to me back in 1980. And then burying my son in 1989, which I'll get into that a little bit more here, just a little bit in the sobriety part. You know, that wasn't easy. I hung on to that for several years, and then decided to move to Florida, and you know, broke my back, got 8 screws put in my back, and 8 screws, 4 rods, couple bridges. I can't keep track of it all by now, to be honest with you. 28 screws in my leg, too, but we won't talk about that today. I got in a fight with a cow, just so everybody can laugh. And that's true. But, you know, leading up to where we left off, I had just found my girlfriend of the time, Nikki, hanging in the closet, passed away. Beautiful 34-year-old young lady. And
now, what year was
That was 2005.
Wow.
Just leading up to that, you know, a week prior, her brother and I got into an altercation. He ran me over with his S10 pickup truck and took a few shots with his little 38 special. And praise God, God was on my side. Didn't know it. Didn't realize it. Didn't know how blessed I really was, because luck doesn't usually work out that good. You know what I'm saying? At least no. I've never hit the lottery. I hit the lottery when I found Jesus. But
God was watching out for you. Amen. That's what was happening.
Amen. God was watching out for me. And so, you know, I got arrested. I went to jail, and it was in jail that my life began to change. Because
was this on the Treasure Coast?
This was in St. Lucie County, really? Rock Road. That's correct. I eventually was arrested with 8 felonies, 3 misdemeanors for possession of cocaine, theft. I had some very expensive artwork, to say the least. Everything I do, I think big, and you know, so I was out hawking $50,000 pieces of artwork, you know what I mean? And maybe even more. But so I get arrested. That's kind of where we left off the last time. I had 8 felonies, 3 misdemeanors, looking at 47 years in prison. And lo and behold, God brought me where he needed me to be. And I'll never forget the moment that I found Nikki and I took her down off the rope. She was on a stereo cord, to be exact. And I remember laying over her body, crying out to God like I never had in my entire life, not really realizing how real God is. And I said, God, I don't care what it takes. I gotta change this life. I mean, you know, I'm smoking $1,000 a day worth of crack cocaine. You know, 4 hours after the CSI left and took her body out, I was back buying dope again. I mean, it just, that even something so traumatic as that doesn't change addiction.
Your behavior.
What changes your behavior in addiction is to fall in love with Jesus and have a willing to want it.
That's awesome.
You know, you can go to $100,000 rehabs, but if you don't have Jesus and you don't have the willingness to want, I don't care what you spend on it. It doesn't matter. Christ already paid the price for it. So
amen.
Just remember that. It doesn't really matter. But so I wind up in jail, St. Lucie County, Rock Road. And I kind of avoid going to the chapel for the first 2 to 3 months, 2.5 months, I think it was. And a lot of guys that I was in there with, and it was like God was gnawing at me, trying to con me into going to the chapel. And I had gone down and seen a couple of psychologists that were there from New Horizon on staff. As a matter of fact, I'll never forget, there was one young lady who told me, you know that you will never be right for everything you've been through in your life. She actually said that to me, and she said, the best you can do is, we can give you some medicine, and I'm not against people taking medicine, so let me put that out there. Some people need their medicine, so I can just be real and right about that. But I just looked at her like, and I took the medicine for about 10 days and I felt like a zombie, and at that point I just ceased to even go try to get it. I didn't even want it anymore. And finally there was a young man who signed me up to go to Celebrate Recovery on a Friday night, and that was the life-changing altercation moment, Holy Spirit fire in my life. Did I know it was Holy Spirit fire? Absolutely not. I went down to the chapel on that Friday night and walked in there, and I'm going to use their names because they're Jesus lovers and they don't mind, but Pastor Al Pagosi and Bobby Leone, who are two of my great friends today. Pastor Al, I minister with him at Plant a Seed, but let me not get off track here. And I walked in there and I sat all the way in the back.
Yeah.
I come to find out Jesus is just as strong in the back as he is in the front, okay? So, you know, you can hide out in the back of the church all you want, but that isn't getting you anywhere. It's all, you're in now, you know? So I sit all the way in the back, and I'm sitting next to 3 guys that I had fought over a cup of coffee with just a day prior, And there's a reason I'm saying that. I had two black eyes. I looked like a raccoon. You know, everybody in jail at that time, it was called Gladiator School back in the day. I mean, it was pretty rough. We fought pretty much daily. Not saying I'm proud of that, but that's just the way things were. It was a rough place to be. And thank God for, you know, Ken Mascara, our sheriff over there. He did a lot of things and implications to change that by starting to celebrate recovery. I guess I went to one of the very first meetings there. So that, you know, a lot of things happened for positive change in that facility, as it has through to this day with Chaplain Dave and the programs. Does a great job. But I walked in, I sit to the back. You know, I'm a tough guy. I'm not supposed to cry. I'm bad to the bone. I'm not supposed to,
right.
Especially show weakness to the guys to the left and the right. You know what I'm saying?
The guys you've been wrestling with.
And the song "Open the Eyes to My Heart" came on during praise and worship, and I started to cry. And I started to cry uncontrollably. I mean, I get goosebumps right now just thinking about that moment. And I couldn't stop. I'm trying not to cry because I can't show these guys what's going on with me.
Yeah.
And Pastor Al shared, Bobby Leone shared, and I had realized right at that moment that these two guys had been where I was at. They totally knew that they understood me, and I didn't think another person in the world could understand me where I was at. And, you know, a couple of days before, I was literally... we call it threading the sheets to hang myself on the bars. And I wasn't going to hang myself because I was looking at 47 years in prison. I was going to hang myself because I felt like I was worthless to society. I was not going to be a father to my children. You know, I hadn't been a great father up through to that point, as anybody could imagine. I had two beautiful girls at that time. And, you know, there was a guy named Jerry there who the day before I went to celebrate recovery, and if Jerry's out there listening, Jerry 2005 Rock Road, I love you, man, because this guy literally saw me trying to get it out and sat on my legs, and he weighed about 400 pounds, okay? And I only weighed 149 pounds. Right now I'm about 275, 280, you know what I'm saying? So big difference. I was on a StemFast diet, as some would say. But so Jerry really prevents me from doing what I had my mind set out to do, and obviously God had put a guardian angel there for me, and because by Saturday, Jerry was gone. He got transferred. He had to go to another jail, supposedly, whatever, but he was gone. I didn't get to know him, but he saw what was going on. So this was my mindset before I walk into that chapel, and before the night was out, I was kneeling at the altar on Rock Road, crying my eyes out, giving my heart and soul to Jesus. And I don't mean like because I wanted to impress pastors, because I wanted to gain favor with anybody. I was on my hands and knees because I knew God was real in that moment. I knew that there was a transformation taking place that I know even the word transformation at that time.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. You know what I mean? I didn't know Holy Spirit. I didn't know what was going on with me. I thought I went to the next level of insanity for a few minutes, to be honest with you. And because I knew I wasn't really wrapped too tight. I got psychiatrists telling me I'll never be right again. And, you know, the real funny part to this is that, you know, Bobby was like, oh, wow, this guy, he shot out. And Pastor Al starts yelling at me and, you know, I mean, like he yelled at me. I mean, he really did. He was like, listen, you're a moron. What are you doing? You want to listen to me? All these professional people I talked to, those were the two most professional angels I met. Because I couldn't get out of my head the conversation we had before I left that night. And a lot of it was somewhat degrading to me, but yet it clamped on to me. And I think coming from guys that knew me, knew where I was at, it meant something to me.
Yeah.
And
they cared.
I can tell you I never missed another Friday night of Celebrate Recovery after that. I can also tell you from that moment on, I never got in another fight in that jail. I prayed. I had men in my face. I prayed for them while they were threatening me, and I never had to fight again. I've never gotten in another fight since the day before I got saved in my life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because that was that. You know, some guys want to be rough and tough and all that, but it's a rough lifestyle when you're when you're living like that. And I'm not going to get all the details of what happened in some of those fights, but some real gnarly stuff did happen. But God delivered me. I never went hungry again, and that meant something. Well, as I'm going on, I was one of the guys, I was what the jail would consider indigent. I had no money. I had nobody to call. I had, you know, all the other guys were making collect calls to their wives and their girlfriends and their children and everybody. I mean, I really got nothing. I had nothing to work with. I burned every bridge, so I thought. But what I realized in God's realm, there are no burned bridges. There's no burned bridges in God. He might put a roadblock up temporarily, but there's no burned bridges. And he's the God of restoration, and he did the restoration, and I'll tell you that. But as I prepared to go to court, I went in the courtroom with Judge Gary L. Sweet, who I personally really love this man through to this day, and went in, and he says, you're going to plead out. And I had a public defender, and you know, public defenders are busy. It's hard to get a call their full attention. So he says, you know, do you want to plead out or do you want to plead guilty? And I said, no, because I had a couple godly men tell me that I need to put my trust in God, not in man. And I lived by that all the way through. It was scary. It wasn't easy. It was truly stepping out in faith for the first time in my life. The judge says, you want a PSI? I had no idea what a PSI was. It was called pre-sentence investigation. So he issued that and he ordered that. I gave him my testimony, is basically everything I've told you up till now. And he looked at me and he said, you better hope there's no hole, because that's a heck of a story to tell, he said. He goes, but I noticed that you didn't write it down, so I've got some faith that there's some substance to this. Well, unbeknown to me, he went back, talked to my mother, talked to my brother, talked to him, got my son's death certificate.
The judge did.
The judge had all that done. He issued all that in an investigation. 7 weeks later, I go in front of him. This is October the 5th, 2005. I go in front of him for sentencing. I walk in, and the district attorney's saying, this guy, you know, we tried to plead with him. They tried to make a deal with me down to, you know, we started at 20 years from 47, pled down to 7 years, all the way down to 3 years, which, you know, I had almost a year in at this point. So another year, boy, I could have, you know, believe me, it was tough. It was tough for me to put your faith in God, not in man, to stick to my guns. And the devil was trying me, because he wanted to lure me away from God and what was put on my heart and what I was advised by spiritual leaders. And I followed through with it. My public defender told me I was insane. He asked me if I needed a psychiatric evaluation.
Because you'd already had that.
You know, the judge could give you 47 years. You know? I went out there scared to death, not with the confidence I sit here today, handcuffed and shackled in my blues. Stood in front of that podium, and the judge shut the district attorney down because she just kept rambling on. And he said, this is my courtroom. He goes, I don't know why exactly I'm doing this, but he goes, do you want a second chance at life? And I said, yes, Your Honor, I do. He goes, would you like to go home today? And I told him I can't, because I don't have a home to go to. And, you know, would have been nice to say, yeah, let me out the door right now. As it is, he gave me 5 years felony probation, undercover brother, and he turned me loose to go to Faith Farm Ministry, because Plant a Seed wasn't fully up at that time, and Pastor Al was intricate in helping me get set up and all that at the time. So he let me go. They lost my paperwork. I sat for 71 days in jail, more than I needed to. But guess what? God wanted me there. When I got to Faith Farm, Pastor Gordon Bippus, the intake counselor at the time, said, young man, we didn't have a bed for you until 3 days ago. As a matter of fact, we were turning people away.
Wow.
Praise God, because I had nowhere else to go. I'd have been out smoking crack, either dead or gone to prison forever at that point, because I know I couldn't have made it on my own. And I told the judge that my last day. I said, I am not better yet. I mean, I am still considering, after 10 and a half months of being locked up, of getting high on just Saturday night, Sunday night, you know. For all you guys and all you people out there that are suffering from addiction, you know, I applaud you if you made it 60 days, 90 days. But, you know, I understand it took a good 14 months of daily journaling before I finally came to the day where I wrote down and said, this is the first day I didn't think about getting high.
Wow.
And,
wow.
So, you know, you're not special sick. There's nothing special wrong with you. Keep up the fight. God's going, you know, your miracle's 5 minutes away, is what they kept telling me. And it's true. It's true. So I went off to Faith Farm Ministries. They dropped me off. They let me borrow. I left with a pair of ripped jeans and a pair of shoes with no shoelaces, because that's what I had when they arrested me. And at the end of the day, they let me borrow a shirt to leave with, and they took it back when they dropped me off at Faith Farm. So I literally, when they say you left the shirt on your back, I didn't even have that. You know what I mean?
Oh, my, oh, my.
Faith Farm opened me with welcome arms, which was fantastic. Mm. And, you know, so I get through recovery. I get out. The day I get out of Faith Farm, I go find Pastor Al and Bobby Leone. I get very involved with Plant a Seed Ministry, which I'm associate pastor there now today, with Pastor Al, and serve with Bobby with Celebrate Recovery in the jail on Friday nights, and Pastor Al, Chaplain Dave, some great people. And life is going good. You know, my mother gets cancer. I'm 3 years sober. I went and performed her funeral. Mm-hmm. Godly the way she wanted it. Yeah. You know, my mom was very proud that I had really finally been sober for more than, let's say, 2 weeks. Wow. She hadn't seen that in probably since I was 13 years old. So it meant a lot to her to see me sober before she went to be with Jesus. Yeah. She loved the Lord. My father passed away a year later. Again, I went and did his funeral. He bumped his head on a hitting in a piece of equipment. And 66, he died from a brain injury from an equipment accident. And, you know, besides that, you know, life is going on very well. My business is flourishing. Nature's Keeper, my business is doing very well with the family. It's a family business. They took me back in, praise God, and you know, allowed me to grow and flourish with them, with the business, and with God's blessings. And February the 6th, 2018, my baby girl, she's 18, Santia. She calls me and she says, Dad, you sorry if I go up to Vero? And I said, yeah, honey, go ahead. She was going to go to Brittany's house, her best friend. And they were like peanut butter and jelly. And I saw that gray truck go up the road about 4:30 in the afternoon, never knowing that that was the last time I was going to see her. Hmm. And yeah, her and Brittany, terrible, terrible accident. 99-year-old man driving the wrong way with no lights on, completely blacked out in a Prevost bus. I weighed 56,000 pounds. And the two of them went to heaven at about 7:05 that night, 3 days apart from my son's anniversary. And, you know, my heart goes out to all of our family, including Brittany's parents. And it's been a tough road since then, but God gets me through in grace with each and every day. He's allowed me and empowered me to do things in the community pastorally and just supporting anybody I can in recovery, any church, any ministry that we can come a part of. We do all we can, and it's only because of the grace of God. I still believe that God knew what he was doing on October the 5th, 2005, when the judge said, you want to go home. Amen. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff in between, and I can't say but enough that, you know, if you're out there and you're struggling with drugs and alcohol, or you're just had a bad time in your life, it doesn't really matter. Please get involved with your local church. Celebrate Recovery's out there. Recovery Church is now becoming a big movement in the area. They have a meeting every week from Palm Beach to Vero Beach. Almost every night of the week, they have. I've ministered up at the Vero Beach Treasure Coast, Vero Beach Recovery Church, and at Treasure Coast Recovery Church, which is at Crossings on Oleander. I don't have the exact address, but they have websites, Treasure Coast Recovery Church, Plant a Seed Ministry, Celebrate Recovery. The help is out there. We're not after your money. We just want your spirit. We want you to get right with God. We want you to get right with your family. All is not lost. All is not gone. If God can bring this guy, myself, out of the hole, and allow me the strength to endure, and again, you know, to make it through my daughter's going off to heaven and not picking up a drink or a drug, that's powerful. It's been, you know, and again, my friend Pastor Al, he was by my side all the way to make sure that I didn't use. But I have a great support group of people. I mentioned a lot of names, and awesome people. God is so great. And as it says in Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And when I mean all things, double line the all, because it means all. There's no exceptions to what God can do for you when you commit to God.
Amen.
God, Stuart, we're going to have you back again.
Yes.
Because, you know, 20 minutes or so is not enough time to really give opportunity for you to share your heart. But the thing is, you're right here on the Treasure Coast.
Amen.
You're one of those diamonds that God's pulled right out of
Amen.
The rough.
Amen.
And I'd like you just to lift up families that in some way are impacted. I remember the day a family said, Pastor, you don't understand. We are so dysfunctional in our family. And I said, ma'am, I haven't told you how dysfunctional my family is, because where sin abounds, there's still grace available, regardless
Amen.
Of how
Amen.
Dysfunctional
Amen.
We are. Lead us in a
well,
time of
I just prayer. Want to say one thing yeah. before I pray, that God really also has blessed me with a beautiful wife, and my daughter
God.
Sierra is just awesome. My son Zach, God's still giving me a great family to succeed through life with, so all is not lost.
Amen.
I want to make
that's awesome.
Put that disclaimer Amen. Out there.
That's awesome.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly
Thank
Father,
you,
as we come before you, Lord Father, I ask you, Lord, to touch the hearts and souls of each and every person, Lord, that's within the listening distance of this
Thank
radio
you,
station, this awesome ministry that you've anointed. Father, I just ask you to change their hearts today, Lord, to give them the courage they need
yes.
to make right decisions in their lives, to turn to the people that are putting their hands out to help them. Father, no matter what they're faced with, there is no mountain too big that can't be moved. Just the faith of a mustard seed, Lord, and we'll have it right. Lord, I just thank you for your anointing power. I thank you for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that is going to move hearts today, Lord. Father, you are going to have people screaming and crying, Lord. Satan is going to be bummed out
Amen.
When he realizes he has no authority over these
Amen.
People no
Amen.
More. Father, we're declaring that and decreeing that right here and now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Stuart, wow. please plan to come back and be with us.
You just let
thank
me know,
you.
Jonathan.
Thank
I
you
will
for,
be back.
Thank you for just giving your heart to God and giving to us a witness to encourage others to get up, get out of your hole, ask for help.
Amen.
And know that God is going to be there for
That's
you.
That's right. That's right. Amen. He is. God bless you all.
God bless, Stuart.
See revival, revival. We want to see.
hurts. We wanna see revival.
And you want to keep that dial set right where it is, 89.9. This is Wednesday Live, and we have just had a tremendous time with Stuart Fakita telling how God delivered him from all of the greatest plans the devil had to destroy him. God had a bigger plan, and what a great story. Karen, every time he speaks, do you hear something?
I do, and you know, and this time, because I always write down what I hear. When he said he went before the judge, and the judge said he knew that something real was going on because he didn't write it down.
That was interesting.
He didn't have a prepared statement.
Yeah. And,
so he wasn't trying to con anyone. I mean, when you get to the end of yourself and you're out there and like, God help, yeah.
Yeah, and then that scripture, I don't know if this applies, but the scripture that came to me was that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Yeah.
So when we testify of him, you know, we're prophesying his life, his life-giving
power.
Salvation.
Well, David, you were in California. You didn't get to be here last week, but Commissioner Collins was with us last week. We want to welcome Christopher Collins, the commissioner, City of Stewart, one of the commissioners. We want to welcome you back to WCNO today. And there are some important things going on right now. You know, you said something to me that God has had rolling around in my head ever since, you know, last week.
Good.
And I remember saying, where were you 20-some years ago when we had trying to get some traction, you know, to do some things for God in the city? And you said something of the effect, well, this is the time. God's raised me up now.
Yeah.
And that's a word for all of you who listen today, all of us who listen today, that God lives in the now with us, and he's been getting us ready our whole life for right now because he has something awesome to do through our lives right now. So, Commissioner Collins, welcome to WCNO.
Thank you.
Great to have you back with us. Last week, as we were talking, we were really focused like a laser on prayer as being one of the things that in this nation before public meetings has just been assumed to be something that's going to happen. I mean, it's been all right. But when you said, we don't know if it's been a year, 4 years, 10 years, 40 years since there's been prayer at the City of Stewart Commission meetings, I realized that all those years that I was there, I didn't even recognize that that wasn't happening.
Mm.
And so this is an awakening for me as well. This could have been addressed many years ago. I'm here now too. Yeah,
it was just on my heart, and I think it's on God's heart. That's why you're seeing it starting to pop up in popular culture now.
It's good.
Football player, it's, something's happening. You have, you know, broadcast journalists praying.
Yes, live. That was awesome.
Something's going on right now.
That circle was so awesome.
And I think it's the first wave. I think God's, he's getting busy now.
I love it. I love it. So, first of all, just tell us what's coming up on the 9th and how people can get involved and, you know, who can get involved.
So, if you would like to see prayer in the Stewart City Commission, this isn't the county or the school board, they already have prayer invocation, but you have an opportunity, I mean, really any meeting, but this is the first meeting since we shot it down. So, it's we received about 30 emails that probably up to 40 now immediately after that meeting. But if it's something that you care about and you would like to see, whether or not you're a Stewart City resident, you can still show up and be there. But the 9th at 4 o'clock, public comment could be anywhere from 4:30 to 5. It's hard to say, it differs, but take 3 minutes, fill out a green card, and just encourage. You know, nothing would sound worse than a frustrated Christian.
Right. We don't want any angry Christians, right?
But really, I mean, we all know what's right and what's wrong. So trying to encourage, I think, and I said this, it was a little bit, you know, maybe burning bridges that day, but I said, I think it's cowardice masquerading as inclusivity. And what, you know, what we're up against is not that people don't know better. It's just, you know, fear to rock the boat or do something different. So encouraging that room towards doing what's good and wholesome and traditional and conservative and values that represent you, if it does, right? That voice of, you know, the American dream and families and conservatism has been quiet in that room. So letting them know, hey, we exist and we would appreciate if you would take a minute. So
really, you mentioned that at this point, because maybe you need to just mention again what happened, okay, because some are listening, they weren't with us last week.
So for a policy change to take place, there has to be two rounds of votes. So on 11/28, it came up for an initial vote and it passed 3-2. On 12/12, the second round, which would have been its final round and it would have been codified and you know, we would be praying before our meetings, that actually died on the dais, meaning that I motioned for it to be approved and I couldn't even get a second, and Commissioner Bruner actually vocalized that she could no longer support it for various reasons, and the other commissioner who had supported it backed down as well. So it was basically, it died on the dais. So it can come back up again because it wasn't voted down, but the way that that's going to happen is if you have support from those other two commissioners again, and hopefully if they can hear, you know, there's public support for this, they might go, okay, maybe I should reconsider. So that's the idea, is you really don't want it to come back up again unless there is support, because it would shut it down for I don't know how long. You wouldn't be able to bring it back up again for a year or two or whatever that time frame is.
Got it.
Yep.
So you as a commissioner represent who?
The city is unusual, where the county has districts, you know.
Yes.
Like Stacy Hetherington, Commissioner Hetherington represents, you know, the city, and you know, the others, Palm City and Jensen.
Right.
The city of Stewart, any of those commissioners sort of represent everybody. So
it's not a local district per se.
We have seats. You know, you have, I'm group three, but it doesn't really signify anything other than just a particular seat that gets voted on. It doesn't have a geographic district. So anybody in the city votes for all three or two, however many are up that, you know, round.
So then I
see the city as the gem sort of the Treasure Coast, right? Whenever we talk about any of these other issues, like affordable housing or, you know, any of these agenda items that come up, people from all over, not necessarily who, Costco is a good example. You had a lot of residents from Martin County proper there to be on one side or the other of the Costco project.
Right.
So, you know, residents from the county, Hope Sound, Palm City, everybody's there to weigh in because the decision that the city's going to make impacts
everyone.
So the city is sort of that nexus point. So sometimes people, I've mentioned this to them, and they say, oh, I don't live in the city. You don't have to live in the city. You know, what the city does, though, is it kind of belongs to everybody.
Well, certainly anyone that lives anywhere close is going to spend time in the city, restaurants and events and things that take place down there. I mean,
and the decisions we make and the traffic it creates,
it impacts all of us.
So
the parking and everything there, and there are a lot of awesome restaurants right downtown, you know, the Lyric Theater and a lot of other things that take place there. There's a lot that happens in
which another plug for another meeting is actually on Thursday. we're doing a zoning in progress, so we're trying to discuss some solutions for the overdevelopment. And I'm going to be presenting, which will be interesting because that doesn't normally happen. But if you're curious about growth, I know it's not really what I'm here to talk about today, but that is something else going on.
And what time is that meeting?
It's at 4. As well as the one on the 9th, it's at 4. Be there at 4.
And this is this week.
Mm-hmm.
This week at 4 o'clock on Thursday.
The 5th, so tomorrow.
The 5th.
Not the 4th. Sorry. Today's the 4th.
Yes, today's, right. I was saying at 4. You said 4 o'clock.
So, a lot of fours flying around.
Yeah, a lot of fours.
A lot of fours. Yeah.
Okay, so Commissioner, you had mentioned that at this next meeting, this is not going to be a vote.
It's not even on the agenda.
It's not on the agenda.
But if you, right now, like I said, 30 to 40 emails came in. So you have the attention. And when you send in an email, this was something that I didn't really talk about. It's a little bit tricky. If you did want to send in an email, you have to go to the City of Stuart website, click on commissioners, scroll down to the bottom, send in an email, it says, and you fill out a little form and you know what you want to say. But that goes to all commissioners. It goes to the city manager, potentially the city attorney. It goes to everybody. So, I mean, that day, it was getting the attention of everybody when those 30, you know, emails came in that day and, you know, maybe 10 cents. But
how many residents are in the city?
Oh, geez.
20?
The number is sort of fluctuating because we've approved so many units of development. But you're somewhere between 17 and 20,000. We don't have current. You know, 22 data yet, but
so 30 is a response. Thank God for all those 30 to 40 that responded. But 300,
I can say in the context of other things that we vote on, that's a lot.
So is
we don't,
it?
We don't get 30 emails about an agenda item that we voted on, really ever, except for Costco, and only when Costco, you know, tries to encourage their members to send emails. But otherwise, we don't get 30 emails over anything.
You said something else the other day that sort of stirred up my complacency, which I hate to admit, but, you know, it's selective. You know, it's like my wife says, you're not listening to me. And I'm like, I hear everything you're saying. She said, you're not listening to me. She's listening right now. I know. So I'll get this at lunch. But maybe. But I think we have selective activity and we have selective passivity. And you had mentioned that many of the decisions that impact all of us are made by a very small number of people. Why is that?
So like I said, there could be an evening where there's 10 people in the room, including the commissioners and, you know, the city attorney and the city manager who's up on that dais that's setting policy for 20,000 people. And the point I made, and I'll hit it again, is once you break out of the mindset, and it's kind of that Johnson Amendment mindset that there's church over here, and that's where you express your Christianity and you stay in that box, and then you go into being a secular civilian. Once you break that mold of the way that we're supposed to operate, as a Christian, it impacts everything I do. It is who I am. It's what is expressing out of me because it's my values, right? How I interact with my wife, my marriage, right? Like how I raise my kids, the way I practice, the way I run my business, and the way I'm going to be a commissioner, it all expresses any role I have, that spirit should express through into that. It's not in a box on Sunday where I get to go express what being a Christian is, and then I go into the world as, in, you know, a passive, and the world's happening to me. No. My job is to be the salt and the light and express those values, take territory, change this world, be a ripple, and affect the place that I live for God because that's a spirit that's in me. What we don't realize or we forget or we're too busy is the other side, if there's another side, if there's secular progressivism, you know, maybe that's the closest thing to direct opposition to, you know, a Christian, I guess, but they have their values. They impose their value set on policy. They have no issue imposing all of their values and driving policy. And what we're all feeling over the last, you know, few years is the result of that we were asleep at the wheel. We haven't been involved in policy decisions. And very quickly, it can hit the fan and you're at the mercy of all of the individuals who have been doing that in the background. So I see that everything is happening exactly like it's supposed to. the awareness that's coming to a lot of Christians and conservatives, you know, that they haven't been as involved as they should be is perfect. And my hope is that something like this with prayer not just gets everybody to come in and take 3 minutes and encourage everybody, but to stick around, to want to be there and help drive policy with their values so that those values are expressed and overall the direction of our municipalities and our county and our state and the country from grassroots up. It's not just who's president. It comes from the bottom up. You have to get involved in the type of growth that happens. It's not even just prayer. It's with wisdom, with that spirit in you, with that eyes open and that awareness that you're supposed to have, you're the best person to be there to help add to the conversation that is had over the decisions that get made. And if you're not there, you're the missing piece, you know, as the one with wisdom and God's spirit in you.
So I wonder what would happen if every church saw the function of a believer in our local communities as important as taking the offering. I wonder how much different response would be.
I'm not a Greek scholar, but that's my understanding of what ecclesia is it's a governmental mantle as well. It's not just a bunch of people who hang out on Sunday. There's a governmental God's structure and government and authority.
Yeah, the kings and priests. Mm-hmm. And so, the training for reigning, huh? So, hello, yeah. Training for reigning, yeah, what, where? Yeah. You know,
and we do that at church, right? We create our hierarchies and our structures.
We do.
But we need to affect the entire world. You know, when you start local, you are the salt and the light.
So the word tells us we wrestle not with flesh and blood, talking spiritually here, mm-hmm. but against principalities, powers, and rulers in high places. So having been with you last week, it's really challenged my thoughts. How is it and why is it that the spiritual realm in the enemy's camp, in the devil's camp, is much more active than really we are? And the word says if the salt doesn't, if it loses its savor, that it has no value.
Right.
And is that not the way a lot of people look at the church? You have no value because you don't add to the big picture. You show up for your issue. You show up if you're opposed to something.
Right.
But you don't get involved to maybe move forward the overall vision that maybe you have.
And I know we're all busy, right? That's probably the number one thing.
That's an enemy for sure.
I'm busy.
Yeah.
I'm 39. I've got 3 kids and 1 on the way. I'm trying to build my business still.
Yep.
I'm not in a place where I'm ready to, you know, it's on autopilot. I have a lot of things I have to be doing too.
Sure.
But for me, it got to a point where if you don't get involved, you're going to lose your city.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And it's awesome. On a lot of different levels. And hey, maybe you're older and you're battling with your health. Maybe you're battling with a million other things, right? Maybe you feel like you're too young and you're not qualified. Just go and be involved. It doesn't matter what the excuses are. Press into them and function. Function for God. Use your gifts. Use your talents. Use who you are and be deployed. Don't make excuses. Don't let, you know, the enemy, you know, tell you you're not worthy or qualified, or just do it.
So if you live here, you know, if you're listening, you might be in St. Lucie County, you might be in Okeechobee County, you might be in Palm Beach County, but you come in and out of Stewart all the time. You know our area, you love our area up here. This meeting is open to who?
To the public.
To the public.
And if you live in St. Lucie or Okeechobee, go be involved in your municipal.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Yep.
Sure.
Too, as well.
But if you are here and you do business here, you're in and out of this area, to me, the point is you don't have to be from the city of Stewart to have a voice in the city.
Come and spend 3 minutes trying to encourage who's up there to bring prayer into the commission and reconsider, you know,
excellent.
For whatever reason they decided not to.
And let's get involved wherever we live. And that's why we brought in today the county's looking for someone on what, some kind of a medical...
Emergency Medical System Advisory Board.
Looking for, you know, people to sign up. And we promote that here. Yeah. And that's part of what we sense that we have an opportunity to do, is to let people know what the options are.
And it's not even necessarily just being in a commission meeting or running for an office. It's applying for those positions. You should want to be involved in your municipal operations. And I want, as somebody who's sort of over that, to have people with wisdom and God's spirit, right, in those positions too. I want a city staff that's rich with high quality people. You know, not that it's not, but the county as well. You should want to be in those positions too. It's not just
want to be involved.
You know, there's different parts of the body, but if that's where you feel like you're called and you're a GIS surveyor, go do that. But do it at the city. You know, don't just go to private party because it's there's maybe more money or something. Go be involved with the city and how it grows and you know.
And I would say as a pastor, I say to our congregation, if you are retired, you have an opportunity in your life at this time.
I wish those
to
guys
invest.
Ran. I wish those guys ran for this position. I tried to talk multiple of my patients into doing it.
Yeah.
That were retired and they're really wise. Oh, I don't want to deal with that. You know, I'll be dead soon. You know, you do it.
Yeah.
And finally, I had to.
Well, you know, this also happens in church government as well. I remember in our fellowship being at the annual or biannual meetings where people are being voted on. And so, you know, a pastor's nominated to head up, say, missions or head up whatever, take a position of oversight in the region. And the leaders that I looked at as a young man coming into the ministry, I looked at and said, wow, you know, God's really using them. They have a lot to offer. I'd love to be mentored under that kind of leadership. They all, almost every time, said, take my name off. I'm too busy.
Right.
And I'm glad Jesus didn't do that. I'm glad God the Father didn't do that. God so loved that he gave his son. And then he was into this modeling of discipleship. You show, you tell. You show, you tell. And then you send. And so this is really important. I was hoping to get into your personal testimony. That's not going to happen today, I don't think.
Sure.
Because we just ran out of time. We had Ma and Paul. They're probably going to have a birthday before we get them back in here. We have some really important stuff to bring in from them. But tell us again what's taking place this week, next week, and why it's important for the body of Christ to rally around this cause.
So tomorrow we're going to be discussing at 4:00. It's called a zoning in progress, but we're trying to come up with solutions. I've been driving this primarily because I'm more slow growth with a lot of the stuff that we've approved and are developing. It's out of character with what I think Stuart is. So we're trying to come up with solutions to grow slower, which I'll go into then and we'll talk about.
Okay.
And then the 9th, Monday the 9th, is our first regular city commission meeting of the year, and it's the first one after that, you know, prayer got shot down. So it's probably the opportunity, if you're going to express that you'd like it to be reconsidered, that would be the time. So if you are there at 4, you can fill out a little green card. You'll see it on the foyer or whatever. There's a little table there. You fill out a green card with your name, and you have up to 3 minutes to, like I said, encourage your city commission to reconsider.
And that is what can be done at this, would be to ask that prayer prior to future city meetings, that this would be brought back up, mm-hmm. and that that they would understand that as a community, we desire to see this happen,
right.
and be a part of it.
And again, these 5 people who are up there, those city commissioners, are your representatives, right? We live in a representative republic. And I won't go into that versus democracy and everything, but mm-hmm. these 5 people are to be representing you and your interests. So you saying, hey, these are my interests, and potentially, you know, the volume of people who are there expressing that should